All right, y'all. Welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast, the Quarantine Edition. I'm your host, Kevin Koval, and today we have an incredible crew in the building. And y'all, correct me if I'm wrong, but the founders of Unfriendly Black Hotties, Bambi Banks and Chloe Park, are in the Corner Store. Welcome, y'all.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We are two founders of the Unfriendly Black Hotties. There's actually four of us, but, you know, because of quarantines, we've been separated, y'all.
Yeah.
It's been a struggle. But, you know, we're holding it down. We've been keeping in tabs, you know, via call, you know, just trying to keep ourselves busy during this quarantine, trying to keep the Hotties brand alive, you know?
And so tell me, for those that don't know, what is Unfriendly Black Hotties?
An Unfriendly Black Hottie is a drag performer specifically, well, like, in our standpoints. Unfriendly Black Hottie is just somebody who is unapologetic with their opinions and also very strong on stage. We are very big on helping girl, and, like, anybody can be an Unfriendly Black Hottie as long as, you know, you're black.
It's in the title.
Yeah, you know, as long as you're black, you know, you can be a hottie. I mean, anybody can be a hottie, but, like, you know, as long as you're black, you can be a black hottie.
Yeah.
And it's just basically just like a sisterhood of, like, strong, powerful black performers around the country now. So we're based in Chicago, but we've had, like, special guests all out of town, from New York and Dallas and Miami, LA. And so now with the quarantine, we're for sure reaching out as far as we can, you know, since everything's online.
Yeah, and you guys, you've made that transition into the virtual space.
We are definitely attempting to.
Okay, so what is the plan? I mean, in the interim, you know, how are you all moving ahead?
Well, currently we've all been working on separate projects and being a part of separate shows. We just had a really big brainstorm today on what angle we want to take Unfriendly Black Hotties. We definitely are attempting to continue our show along with everyone else trying to continue their shows in this, like, new digital age of drag. We're just trying to, like, put a new type of spin on it so that when we do release our content, it says Hotties and not just, like, digital drag show, you know?
Yeah. And I guess what makes a Hottie show a Hottie show? Like, what's the flavor, the secret ingredients, the style aesthetic that you guys curate and bring to people?
I think the thing that makes the Unfriendly Black Hottie show different than all the rest is that, I mean, it's like Bambi said before, when it comes to an Unfriendly Black Hottie, it's like the essence of being a bad bitch. Like, you walk in the room.
You have to have confidence.
Yes, you own the stage, and the performers that we invite to be a part of our show are definitely people who command stage presence when they're there. Like, they will keep you intrigued, they will bring stunts, they are just beautiful. Like, it's always something new in terms of who we book, and not just with them, but within ourselves too. So we're always finding ways to keep it fresh from the people we book to the themes that we bring, and even ourselves, you know, we try to switch it up and try new things. So I think that it's always that element of surprise within our show.
I think another really big, or to reiterate what you're saying, another big thing that connects us is just to have confidence, A, and to also be overly prepared. I think those are the things that it takes to be a hottie.
But also, we have a very, very strong bond. And I think people love to see how we banter with each other in person, because online it's a complete shit show.
Yeah.
So it's always funny to see in person.
It's not all like business. It's truly just like us working with our best friends and being unapologetically, like, queer and black in a predominantly white space.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, how did y'all meet?
Oh, interesting question. Well, me and Chloe actually met in the middle of one of her performances.
Yeah.
Her true Unfriendly Black Hottie was showing that day. And she decided to drag me on stage in a performance. I did not know what I had, no choreography plan or anything. And she just, like, made me one of her partners, and we've been, like, best friends ever since, honestly.
Wow, where was this? If I can, where was that show, Chloe?
This was a Crash Landing. It's a like an amateur drag competition. It was Crash Landing at Berlin Nightclub.
Yeah.
And then I met Toto. How did we meet Toto? Who knows? She just moved here from Miami like last year.
She was coming like one of us.
Yeah, so, she was like back and forth through Miami. So we just met her through, you know, the party scene. She's like our biggest partier. She's the girl that, like, you know, you're taking like 7 shots with at the bar, doing the most with. Like, her titties are usually out somehow.
Yeah.
And then Kenzie Poulet is actually my drag sister. And we met during a show called Bad Betty's, also at Berlin, and we've been friends for a really long time. And so once I think Toto decided to like move here, we decided to, you know, use our powers together and form the baddest bitch group in Chicago, you know.
That's real. Now, are you all from Chicago originally, or where do you guys individually, you know, like Chloe, Bambi, where do you all come from?
I'm from Chicago, so I originated here, but I did move from Indiana to here, but like my birth origin place is definitely Chicago.
I actually am I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I moved to Chicago in like 2012 for college and just have never left.
And when did you all start performing and getting into the world of drag?
I think that for many different people, their first time varies. You know, you have that trial run, and then you have like the first official time.
So what's your first time?
My first initial time was, oh my god, it was like three years ago, I think in like August, and no, November. It was November, and that was the start of everything for me.
I started drag about 3 years ago. This is my story. I started drag 3 years ago. I was almost concerned. It was like either the end of October or November. I remember that was my first drag.
So I was a semi-like.
Right, it sounds that way. Now, but before that, I mean, what drew you to drag? I mean, why? And I have a bunch of questions about, you know, what you all were doing prior to that, but what was it about the form that drew you to want to participate?
Well, for me, I am obviously a Drag Race baby. I feel like most people who have started drag in the past like 5 years can safely say that we're all like Drag Race babies. But I think what really made me like do it was that I went to school for acting, and I feel like that was like basically drag anyway. Drag is just like a fast version of like doing a play. So I think that's what really like taught me that I could do it. And I took a makeup class in acting school, and I was like, I got this. I was still ugly for a minute, but like I got
Foot with blush. Yeah. Foot with blush. I would say for me, it was pretty easy. I was like, how can I be a stripper and get away with it? No, I'm kidding. But for me, I definitely, of course, like many people, drag is not something you just like look at on an occupation sheet. You do kind of fall into it. But I think, piggybacking off what Bambi said, Drag Race is what kind of started it all. Before then, I was just a little gay kid that thought there was going to be a veterinarian or something. Like, definitely aiming way too high for my academic skill set. And I saw this and was like, you know what? I'm feeling like I'm going nowhere in life. And living in Indiana at this time, you can feel very much like you're in quicksand, like you're just trying to do a lot, but you're going nowhere. And I said, okay, I'm going to give drag a try. And so I did it, and well, here I am. So I love it. You know, it definitely gives me an outlet to be someone who I wish I could have been in another life. But, I mean, it lets me have fun, so I love it that way.
And you mentioned Drag Race, which I watch and is I'm currently watching this season. And, you know, my girl has gone back and watched all the seasons. So I've been privy to a lot of that. But I also think about the history of drag and some drag spaces in Chicago that have been really important. And I remember even as a kid, you know, my mom would put me on to what was happening at the Baton when it was downtown. And it's since, you know, and this is, you know, this is in, you know, this must be like in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering about other places that you have either been or been a part of your story or been important to the community. I remember, and I don't know if it's still happening, but there's, of course, you know, I've been to spots like Hamburger Mary's, but there's a spot in Wrigleyville that had the Kit Kat Lounge, I think, that was doing some shows. But where are some of the venues that have been important in y'all's story, some of the spaces that you've gravitated toward or been a part of? You mentioned Berlin as a club, of course, but what are some of those venues?
Well, Berlin is definitely a part of a lot of our family's origin story. We also, me and Chloe specifically, outside of Unfriendly Black Hotties, we work with the Queer Pride, which is started from Stardust, which was a 10-year running party organization that worked at Berlin, and they basically like gave us a really big leg up on our like business skills and like teaching us how like Chicago works. So Berlin is definitely a huge part of where we like come from. Unfortunately, they had to part ways with Berlin, so did we. So we've moved places like Scarlet
Splash.
Chloe is a
Scarlet Girl
weekly host at Scarlet. I do a bi-weekly show at Beauty Bar with Fabitat. We both work at Splash. We both have worked at Roscoe's. Like, these are all places on the Strip that aren't necessarily as legendary as the Kit Kat or Baton, because those are a lot of where our legendary queens work now. But more so like new environments that are creating more of your current legendary iconic drag content and performances.
Yeah, I love, you know, the shows at Baton and the Kit Kat Lounge, but I always felt that they were for lack of a better term, almost above ground. And I always imagined there being an, you know, again, for lack of a better term, more of like an underground scene that I had really no way of knowing about. And so that's true, more or less. There is kind of like a underground, vibrant, youthful scene popping, I would imagine.
I wouldn't even say that it's necessarily underground. I think Drag Race has made everything very mainstream, and everyone's trying to get their, like, cut of what that is these days. So a lot of people aren't like trying to be underground or like really like hide drag anymore or like hide who they are. It's a very more open experience. I think there are a lot of events because it's less about the space and more about who's throwing the event in the space that really makes it like a drag thing. And so I think that it's more about who is throwing these events that you need to know about to know what is more underground and whatnot, you know?
Yeah. And how would you all classify, how do you think about the Chicago community for drag right now? You know, what is it like? Is it a growing scene because of Drag Race? Is it a growing scene because of all this grassroots work and shows that are occurring? What's the vibe in your experience?
I think that the community has always been growing. I think now, especially with Drag Race being as mainstream as it is and just the world itself progressing forward, there's more people getting into it. There's more people doing their research. There's, you know, definitely an outbreak of people that are like, I like drag. I want to do it. I'm ready to do it. I have no reason to hide anymore. Or I finally have something to channel my creative energy into. And so it's always growing every day. There's a new queen on the scene, there's a new show, and there's a new baby queen, as they say, being born every day in that room. And so I think because drag in Chicago is so different, I think that a lot of people are just coming together just through the simple common, what's the word?
Common, I feel like drag in Chicago is only as vibrant as like every other like art form in Chicago. So I think since Chicago is such a great place for art altogether, that obviously drag is going to grow and survive and adapt in that way as well. I think that Chicago has been one of the best cities to adapt to this type of like RuPaul-esque world where drag is mainstream. I think that if you want to be a successful queen, this is one of the best places to start. It's very hard to break into because Chicago is also a really big sisterhood, and we look out for our hours and you know, we look out for each other, no matter who or how we feel about each other. If you're from Chicago, you're a sister. And if somebody's coming from the outside, it will take you a minute to, like, get into the groove and make sure that you are, like, a trustworthy person. So I would say that it's the best place to start drag because you soak up all that knowledge from every queen that's came before you. And it's like you don't really get queens in other scenes that like are willing to give the way they are in Chicago. It takes a village to raise a child, and that's kind of how we treat every baby queen here too.
And like every queen is so different. You learn something new almost every day, and that's what I love about it, is that you go to a different club and you see different drag. You know, I mean, it's like, oh my god, you know, and you have everything in one strip sometimes, so it's just like it's a lot, and we all get along for the most part. It's amazing.
That's really dope. That's beautiful. Is there something that indicates or that is indicative of a Chicago style in the scene? Is there something that if you see somebody, you're like, oh shit, they came up in Chicago because, you know, the way they rock a particular fit, or, you know, the way they, you know, move or what have you. You know, I just think of like, you know, like in other scenes, you know, like in painting, I could think of, you know, there's a kind of realism that exists, and I'm like, oh shit, that's probably a Chicago painter or whatever, poet. But yeah, I mean, like, is there something that marks a Chicago style in the scene?
I don't think that there is something that marks Chicago style, because I think our style is that everyone is an individual. Like, for instance, in Houston, the way that they kind of do drag is like, well, this is how you do drag. Everybody has a fringe bodysuit. They do a little buck 1-2 to a Beyonce song, and that's how you do drag, because that's like kind of like how you entertain and how pageant queens want to run their shows and things like that. In Chicago, people are allowed to have any kind of we challenge you to have individuality, I guess, because it's really hard to make it here, and there are so many performers that like I feel like the energy is like, okay, so what makes you different? Why would we want to book you? What can you offer to the group that's different that someone else isn't offering already? Because there are already like 10 girls over here who can dance. So so I feel like we don't really have like necessarily a style. I think the thing that separates Chicago queens from other regions, though, is that we all have huge mouths. We're a very opinionated scene. Like, you can tell a Chicago queen on the internet very easily, because we are the first ones to call bullshit.
Very bad.
That kind of sounds like some Chicago shit, really. You know, that we don't...
Yeah, very unapologetic.
So, look, in order to do drag, right, you mentioned dance, and, you know, you said, you know, you went to theater school and took a makeup class. You need to have a big tool belt of skills in order to be fly. Like y'all are fly. What is that training involved, and just what are the things that you all have done to prepare yourself for this life? I guess, like, you know, I've seen, you know, I don't know if y'all, you know, design your own fits, but there just seems to be so many things that you need to be great at in order to, you know, to do drag.
True. I agree, but also I feel like the beauty of drag is that there is no school for it. You can be as classically trained as you want to be, but, you know, still suck. You know, like, let's be honest. Or you can come from nowhere and nothing. You have nothing. Like me, I didn't go to any dance classes, nothing. I don't have the same background that Bambi does, but I've just naturally taught myself, and it's worked for me learning that way. Whereas some people, they do learn things, and that makes them better. I think the thing about Chicago in general is that we accept you for being different. It's just that if you're going to be different, back it up, you know, and be the best at it, you know, so there's no one skill set to it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it's not about necessarily having a skill set to be good at drag. It's about being an artist from the heart, because you can work through any other medium and still be a drag queen. Like if you're a graphic designer, that can help you with drag. Or if you're someone who's a seamstress, obviously that's going to help you with drag. But like going back to being a graphic designer, even like having those skills can teach you tricks of the trade to like learn how to paint and like shapes and things like that. And so you are better at putting together outfits and working with colors because you like have this other skill that pertains to drag. Everything relates to drag, because drag is just like heightened version of reality. So any kind of art that you produce in your lifetime basically is helping you with your drag.
Yeah.
And so I imagine then, before y'all came to drag, were you artists pursuing art prior? I mean, you mentioned theater school, but
I was an actor for, I want to say, like 11 years before drag. I studied musical theater in high school a lot, dance classes every 3 days a week, tap, jazz, and ballet, and then I would have vocal lessons like 3 or 4 times a week, also having like 2 different like rehearsals, and then I switched over to college, which was a conservatory, and I did the same thing. So like I'm pretty well versed in taking criticism.
For me, I was just, you know, a little gay kid working at Forever 21, you know, not much to say there. Yeah, pretty simple.
And that was your training? Just
was my training, learning how to fold a shirt. No, I'm just kidding.
Look, learning how to talk to people.
Okay, yeah, like I would say being in the real world, just talking to people, that was basically my training, because I didn't have that same background, so I just literally jumped into drag with like no type of instruction manual at all. So I just went for it, and I only focused on the performance aspect. But thanks to, you know, Bambi and Toto and everyone at A Queer Pride for teaching me business skills and promotional skills and so on and so forth, I kind of learned it as I went along.
It wasn't even about like us teaching Chloe anything. Chloe actually has one of the strongest visions. I like one of the strongest visual artists I know today. She really knows what excites people and what people really look for in performers, and she executes it every time. She is a phenomenal dancer, whether she is like training or not, and she also is a perfectionist at what she does and doesn't release anything under quality. So
thank you. I learned that from MCB.
Well, you all mentioned some of the spaces that kind of brought you together and brought you out. I'm wondering, you know, you'd also mentioned some of the queens in the scene. I'm wondering who are some of the folks who have, you know, made an impact in your life, who have, I don't know if mentor is the right word, maybe it is, but I know that the sense of community is real, that camaraderie is real, but who are some of the elders, I guess, who have put y'all on?
The list goes on. Obviously, I have to talk about my drag mother, Nishay Kuwe, who keeps me in line, keeps me in check, keeps me working harder.
Sure.
But alongside her, I've had like aunts like leading me the way while she wasn't around, because she had to like tour and stuff like that. So I've had people like Lucy Stuhl teach me a lot of stuff. The Vixen teach me a lot of stuff. You know, people like Tranica, Tenderoni, like Cat's Ass, all of these people who are basically like headlining and like spearheading Chicago drag these days. All of them have taught me at least one or two things that I still use today, because, you know, there's no use in like keeping that information for yourself. Like, if I look good, we all look good, you know? Right. So who do you think?
I totally agree with that list. Like, you took all the good ones. I think a person to me that is near and dear to my heart, she's actually my drag mother as well. Her name is Abhijeet. And she, when I first met her, it was after my first competition had ended. And she just, ever since then, had took me under her wing and taught me business skills. She's taught me how to enhance my social skills and how to just almost do almost everything that I have that I already know, but enhanced it and helped me perfect it. So a lot of how I am today, I owe to her. And because she's been working with Stardust and A Queer Pride.
She is like the head, she's the head, spearheader of A Queer Pride, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she taught me a lot as well. She's one of my best friends. And honestly, like, probably one of the most underrated people in Chicago. She doesn't get like the praise that she deserves, because she like is such a huge part of what is produced here and what people see as Chicago. And what people, the reason that people even want to work here, like half of the reason. You know what I mean?
That's real. Thank you for shouting those folks out too. I like to give props where they're due, you know. You know, sometimes I think of folks who do drag and graffiti writers and I love graffiti writers and I love folks who do drag in a similar context. Like, to me, y'all are both superheroes, because, you know, you kind of have a regular way of presenting, and then you have this kind of fantastic way of presenting or of representing. And I guess I have questions. Does, like, in your, you know, non-drag life, do you, like, first, do y'all have like regular ass gigs, or do you just make a living in drag and in art? And
we both make a living in drag, actually.
Okay. Word. Before that happened, did folks around you know your like superhero life? That's how I imagine it. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't think so. I mean, I think a lot of our friends obviously knew that we were, like, doing drag at night and then, like, working by day when we had those, like, day jobs. But by the time that people, like, recognize you out of drag when you're, like, going out, I think that's the time where you realize it's time to go, like, professional.
Trying to transition.
Because it means that like everyone is seeing your face. Like you've been seeing too much. You know what I mean? So I definitely think that a lot of our friends like knew that we were doing both and like supported both.
Yeah.
From the get go, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my family knew and my friends knew. It's always been supported from day one. So
I told my mom I could make money by it, and she was like, okay, do it.
And so in this new world and in this kind of, you know, this economy now, like how are you all maintaining? How are you all doing? How are you all getting by?
Great question.
We still trying to figure it out?
Yeah. I mean, right now everything is just so uncertain. We don't know exactly what the future entails. We're just trying to take it day by day and be sure that we are still trying to like reach out to our audience and keep our presence relevant and things like that, and keep our characters alive and on people's minds, and trying to, like, you know, make people happy and entertain them while they're sitting at their house all day. Like, right now, everything that we work for is from the kindness of people's hearts. Like, we are being tipped based off our internet performances. There's no, like, guaranteed, like, booking fees or anything like that. So it's truly just you and your connection with your audience.
Right. Okay. So I want to. I think this is going to end up probably airing, you know, like next Tuesday, and so I want to give people the opportunity to not only check out what y'all are doing, but also support what you're doing. So can you tell us just what is upcoming, and what are the ways people can be in tune and also support, you know, what y'all are doing?
Well, on the 15th of April, which is, I think, tomorrow, from the day this airs, we will be working on something called Black Girl Magic, which will be a Twitch show. It's 25 Black Queens, produced by The Vixen. It will be all the hotties plus RuPaul's Drag Race alum like Monique Hart, Aja, Shea Coulee, and many more Chicago performers and just American performers. I think we have UK performers as well. Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to reach me in any way, you can follow me at Bambi.Banks on Instagram and at It's Bambi Banks on Twitter. We will be releasing information about Unfriendly Black Hottie's digital show soon, so be sure to follow us and be on the lookout for that. Chloe?
Yes, well, my social media is _ChloePark, and that's Chloe with a K, like Kardashian. Yeah, and then I am doing a party every Thursday on my live with my DJ Kirk, every Thursday. It's a spinoff of my Fratmate party at Scarlet Bar that was every Thursday. So it gives the same vibe. We're just in there playing great music, being silly, doing what we used to do in the club, but doing it all live from the comfort of your own home. And yeah, I have this cool series that is with Queer Pride every day, I think from Monday to Thursday. There's a new interview with a celebrity and local Chicago drag talent. And tonight, actually, well, by the time this airs, it won't be, but it'll be Bambi Banks and Boomer Banks. And we have so many other great people coming up, like Sophie, the Clock Destroyer, Dorna Lecture, Kahlo, Meatball. Like, it's so much fun. It's a great entertainment for you at home. So, yeah, and that's on the A Queer Pride Instagram page.
Well, y'all, you know, first of all, thank you so much. I'm not surprised that the Unfriendly Black Hotties are actually incredibly friendly. So, you know, Bambi Banks and Chloe Park, thank you so much for the work that you do, the work that you do for the city and for the community. I'm excited to begin to check out some of y'all's shows, and thank you so much for being in the Corner Store.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course, stay well and stay safe, too. Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official Corner Store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the Snack Door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the Corner Store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.